Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 66 and part two of our news coverage for all the announcements, game releases, and whatnot over the past couple weeks. I'm Table for Two, and I'm joined by Mellified and Alien Pickle. What's up, guys?
Hey, this is Mellified. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good.
Alien Pickle, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Jimbo.
Just trying to recover from my nightmare about hatching gummy bears.
Oh, my God. Oh, you can read more about it on our Discord. I'm sure he's got it shared somewhere.
It was a fever dream, right? It was like little bears hatched out of gummy bears because we left the gummy bears lay around too long.
God.
I was pissed at my wife because I'm like, you left these gummy bears laying around and then they hatched. Now we have, you know, they're going to grow into full size bears. How the hell are we going to keep this in the backyard? I think there's some kind of county covenant about that. I mean, it's like I can have chickens. I can have up to two goats, but I don't think that I can have like giant grizzly gummy bears. So, hey, and have you heard about Pizzly bears? That's the new terror, right? It was murder hornets a couple years ago. Now it's pizzly bears. So the polar bears, because of the thawing in the North Pole, are coming south, and they've met and fell in love with grizzly bears. And now they're making little hybrids called pizzly bears that are like turbo bears that are murder machines. So we'll be seeing those soon.
Well... something else that we'll be seeing pretty soon is that there's a new Just Cause in development. Apparently Square Enix's financials say it's coming back. Well, I'm sure after selling off some of their North American studios, they've got some money on hand to be like, hey, let's make some more games.
I guess, yeah.
But, and on top of all of that, though, it looks like what's interesting is Avalanche Studios is also, currently working on a... multiplayer open world game called Contraband, which is like a co-op smuggler's paradise set in a fictional world of the 1970s. So that was, which is interesting that it was in the same article as the release of the new Just Cause game coming out. So there's that.
Yeah. Interesting.
They should do a sequel called Just NFTs.
Oh no, ooh. They should not. They should
no,
not.
No, please do not. Please do.
Well, as we all know, Battlefield 2042 has had a very mixed reception. Part of me likes it, part of me has not liked it, but its first season adds a new map, specialist, and guns this week. It's interesting that it's just now starting to do the seasons, it seems like. I feel like they're just super behind on this one. So Battlefield 2042 Season 1, 0 hours, the name of Season 1. Where you can get all that stuff. And maybe I'll take a dive into it to see how it's doing, but I'm not hopeful at all for it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to be good.
I mean, we were hyped for it, right? Like, we set up a Battlefield 4 server for a little while there as we were prepping for it, and then when it came out, you're just like, what? It was not the best at all.
Yeah, it was a sign of a studio that had just ceased to give a shit.
At least that's how it felt for sure, right?
Still does.
Well, yeah, EA. So.
Well, I did see an article. It didn't make the news, but they were talking about EA. There was a rumor that EA was going to drop Fort 2042 because it was doing so poorly, and they denied it. They said they're still, you know, planning content for another year. So, you know, if they're at least committed on that front to try to make it better, and I distinctly remember Battlefield 4 having a really rough time its first year. Conquest would crash all the time and desync issues and stuff like that. So maybe they can pull it back.
I still think of all of the Battlefields to come out in the last decade, Battlefield 3 is probably one of the best ones that they've ever done, but that's just me. Campaign too. Battlefield 3's campaign was shockingly good, considering that traditionally the Battlefield games, unless it's like a spinoff, have not had a campaign. Like Battlefield 1 didn't have like a real campaign. Battlefield 2 didn't really have a real campaign.
Right.
You know, it wasn't until like Bad Company, I think, that we started seeing some campaign stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which Bad Company was pretty darn good.
So. Right, right. But they added in a campaign to 3 that was shockingly good, and then Battlefield 4's campaign felt lackluster, especially towards the end. But I do remember this one particular mission that was very, like, Batman Dark Knight CIA kind of stuff, where you actually had to, like, launch, like, the balloon, and, like, a C-130 comes by and, like, picks you up out of the, you know, off the ground. Yeah. Which ended up being a feature they frickin' added into PUBG, of all things. So there you go.
You know what game I would really like to kind of hate play? You know, just go in with no expectations, like this is going to be bad, but we might have fun, is that Rainbow Six Extraction. I've heard nothing good, but it might actually have some moments.
Good, very much could. And
it's free on the Game Pass.
That's true. Deliver Us Mars takes you far from home in a thrilling sci-fi adventure. I am curious about this one. I've been following a little bit about Deliver Us Mars, and
is it like more of that from Deliver Us the Moon?
Yes.
Yes, it's okay. Actually, yeah, I'm like out. An expanded. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a sequel. I am too. I did not like Deliver Us the Moon.
It had some merit, right? But it just didn't sustain the
I felt it dragged mid
game. Yeah, exactly that. It was like a pace problem, not a game problem. So
yeah.
How did you enjoy that puzzle where you had to figure out what order to swap batteries in to get the doors open? Did you get that far?
I did, and I did that, and that was when I quit. I think it was right around
yes.
there.
Yes.
Because it was just like, oh my god, come
that
on,
that please. Is dude, that's the killer puzzle.
Let's see, what else do we have here to finish off this? It's still in the first section of all this news.
Witchfire will hopefully be the long-awaited painkiller follow-up. So this is a new first-person shooter. The game was originally actually announced in 2017, but has been sort of MIA. It's the studio that did The Vanishing of Ethan, of all things. So a fast-paced, you know, bullet hell FPS seems like a bit of a departure for them, but I loved the Painkiller games when they came out back in the day, so I'm definitely, you know, hoping this one.
Yeah, they were pretty dope back in the day.
Yeah.
But hey, speaking of witch stuff, did Bayonetta 3 ever come out?
Nope, not yet.
Wow.
They're okay. Still working on it, but it's not out yet.
Yeah, but it was going to be like Switch exclusive.
It
so.
Is, yep. Mm.
I hope it comes to PC in short order.
I would not count on it. We still haven't gotten Bayonetta 2 on
PC. Yeah, that too, which was like a Wii-only thing, right? Wii U, I think.
It was, but it's been ported to the Switch, so you'll be able to play the whole trilogy on Switch, oh. I guess.
Okay.
So Outriders was a game that had kind of an interesting concept and maybe didn't quite deliver on it. The developers have been sticking with it, and they've been working on a new World Slayer expansion for the game that's coming out in a few weeks. And at least folks who looked at it at the PC Gaming Show said it really doesn't, you know, it seems like a whole new game in a lot of ways. So I'm very interested to give this one another shot, because I liked some of the stuff they were doing, but it just didn't quite come together.
Well, they were trying to make like a Destiny kind of game as a service thing out of it, and I feel like it kind of choked on that. So I don't know if they're doubling down on that or just making it like a good Borderlands co-op kind of thing. My preference would be the latter. Like, just make it good co-op.
Yes. Yeah, we'll find out soon.
Space Marine 2 promises to pit us against thousands of Tyranids. What do you think, Pickle?
Yay, because I was sick of orcs.
Yeah, that one should be a pretty good time if you're into the Space Marine.
Tyranids, it risks like turning into like aliens bug hunt kind of thing, right? So if they do it right, it'll be intelligent. It won't just be like swarm stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Jury's still out. I hope the multiplayer comes back, though. Because now, I can't remember the name of it, that 40K multiplayer game. We played it some. right? It was basically Battlefield 3 40K. And it had all the potential, and they jacked it up.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time remembering what that was, too. Yeah.
So the original Space Marine game had excellent multiplayer. It has the horde mode co-op thing that people still play, but there was excellent, like, team versus team Unreal Tournament style multiplayer that was going on. And unfortunately, that other game came out, and like everybody left Space Marine and went to it to die. So hopefully Space Marine 2 resurrects that multiplayer, because it was good stuff.
So there's a new game coming out called Back Firewall, and it is being described as an existential comedy puzzler about an outdated operating system. It's about a smartphone operating system. It's like OS 9 is due for an update, and apparently they're not planning to press remind me later for 30 days. So your job is as update assistant is to make sure the OS gets replaced with the new one. Of course, the older one would rather not take a big sleep in the digital recycling bin, so you'll have to take a bit of a puzzling journey to enforce the will of the update protocol. So there's a little bit about...
It sounds like my day job when the patch cycle comes around.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like my day-to-day. There's a new DLC coming out for the survival game Icarus called Styx. It doubles the size of the map, apparently. If you're into the survival game Icarus, then this DLC will double the size of your gameplay. So there you go.
I have never played Icarus. Have either of you?
I have not.
Nope.
Xbox Bethesda had their big show, and boy howdy was there a lot of information in here. New Forza Motorsport launches in spring of 2023. That looked pretty cool. They also talked about the new Forza Horizon Hot Wheels stuff that's coming up pretty soon. Flight Simulator is turning 40 this year, and so they've added a Halo Pelican update that you can actually go and get now. Jim was talking about before the show that because they don't have the helicopter mechanic in it, it doesn't really fly very well. It's kind of got like a weird flight mechanic. I'm kind of wondering.
Like the hover stuff is basically just like take off vertically, and then you can slide. It's almost like using the slew control to just slide the thing around in the air. But there's no like, oh, if I lean, then I'll actually like list over to the side. So does not fly helicoptery at all. So yeah.
One of the other big announcements, Riot is bringing all of the League of Legends champions and Valorant agents to Game Pass. So you'll be able to play Riot's stable of games via Game Pass, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, this surprised me, actually. I was really shocked to hear this one. Just mainly because, like, the way you play Riot games on PC, especially Valorant, is very intrusive. Like, you have to ensure that you've got the TPM stuff going. You have to run this third-party application in order for the game to run. Like, it's very much like, they call it Vanguard or whatever it is. So, yep. I'm kind of curious how this is going to work moving forward now with it being, like, through Game Pass. I wonder if they're going to enforce the same kind of rules. But if not, then I'm going to be uninstalling all of Riot's like native stuff and going straight through Game Pass.
Yeah, the problem is that Riot is so intertwined with Tencent, right? Yeah.
And that's why this surprised me.
I'm giving root access to my PC to the Chinese Communist Party, and I don't really like that.
It did feel like that. It does feel like that, doesn't it? And that's why I'm so surprised by this Microsoft move, you know? So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the technical details for sure.
See if
or maybe Microsoft's doing this to acquire the Invasion software.
Oh boy, yikes! In more news, Sea of Thieves announces long-awaited captaincy update. This update is actually quite interesting because It'll add the ability for you to save like ship loadouts to be able to customize and actually name your ships. And there's actually quite a bit more. There's actually a laundry list of things that they're doing for this. Apparently they have over 30 million players playing the game, which is a shock to me. I'm surprised it's that many. They've got like a new points system too that you can do.
Yeah, they've been continuing with their battle passes as well, so.
Good for them.
Yeah, it seems like it's working out for them. Narrative adventure game, As Dusk Falls, is coming out in July. This is going to be on Game Pass. It looks kind of like a comic book style. You can play by yourself or with other people. And the choices you make are supposed to dramatically impact the story. It starts with, in 1998, with a robbery gone wrong in a town of Arizona, and it explores the characters and their families across 30 years. So definitely sounds like an interesting concept. Devil's in the details, of course, with these things. Hopefully it's a good story.
Yep. Obsidian Entertainment announces a new historical mystery RPG, Pentiment. Pentiment? Is that how you pronounce that?
I think so, yeah.
This is not one that I've heard of, but Obsidian's a pretty good developer. This game is a historical mystery role-playing game that focuses on character development, heavily stylized art, and choice-driven storytelling in the early 16th century Germany.
The creative director for this is the same one who did Fallout New Vegas, which has a lot of people interested.
Nice. Very nice.
All right. Starfield is probably one of the bigger, more hotly anticipated releases from Bethesda.
Haven't heard of it.
We got a 15-minute gameplay walkthrough at the show. We also got some gameplay details. One of the things that's kind of neat is you can actually steal spaceships. So, you know, that's something to look forward to. You can also customize your crew, find people with different skills, really level up kind of that aspect of things. It reminds me a little bit of the town management in Fallout, but hopefully a little bit better developed. So,
mm-hmm.
Definitely excited for that one.
There is a new mecha farming sim called Lightyear Frontier. Essentially, in this game, your mech is more of like a what do they call it? Like a tractor.
Yeah, dude, I saw the trailer for this during the Xbox showcase, and I was just like, I didn't think I could get harder.
Farming simulator meets Mech Warrior. What you know? How could you miss, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It looks interesting.
Up to 4-player co-op, so I mean, it'll definitely be interesting for all of us. So I mean, you're in a mech and you're building a farm and you're doing your survival crafting thing, and there's a little bit of a story. It looks like could definitely be interesting. The other bit of news that I'm actually not really interested in, I have zero interest in this game, but there's a game called Scorn that is coming out later this year. They're calling it the H.R. Geiger Simulator, which yep. That's an accurate statement.
I desperately hope that this is not like a hunt and click adventure game in first person shooter form. That's the fear, is it's going to be like Giger Mist with shooty. But yeah, because it looks like it's very slow paced and it's like super body horror stuff, which is cool, but they could go wrong with it if it's like not shooty and more like find the key, whatever.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I love Giger's art, so I'm interested in it from that perspective. I just hope it's kind of lives up to that.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't like horror, I'm surprised, but
whatever. Well, I like Giger's stuff. Like his artwork has always interested me, fascinated me. So, if you haven't seen his designs for like the Harkonnen and stuff, because he did a treatment, they're fascinating to look at.
Yeah. Do you remember Darkseid?
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what I'm hoping that it's not. I'm hoping that it's not a third person shooter Darkseid.
Gotcha. Yeah, I could see that being a little too slow paced.
Yeah. Imagine like Secret of Monkey Island, but instead of pirates, it's like body horror Giger stuff. That's kind of what Darkseid was trying to do.
Yeah, it sure seemed like that. Chivalry 2 is a massive, well, large scale multiplayer game where you have sort of realistic sword fighting against different armies, and it finally came to Steam with the new update, the Tenosian invasion, and they've added horse-based combat into the game, so you can ride your steed into battle now. I played Chivalry 2 when I was on the Epic Store and certainly enjoyed it. It definitely is a game that rewards patience and practice, so I have neither of those things, so it made it challenging.
But I just always thought the war cry that you could do in Chivalry always cracked me up.
Yeah, did they put mounted combat in Chivalry 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I haven't played it enough to see the mounted stuff.
It just came out, so that's why.
Yeah.
The mounted combat. War Tales it's been around for quite a while, and they're just getting a co-op update done for it. So this was a little bit of a surprise. I thought this game was kind of, you know, done with many years ago, but the open world mercenary RPG will soon have co-op, so we can give it a shot together, I guess.
Could be interesting. Viking RTS Northgard is getting a new campaign expansion coming up. So if you guys are into Northgard, I have yet to play this one. There's quite a few games that I've just not been able to get my hands on, and this is one of them. So
yeah, same here.
What else we got here? Wow. Speaking of Vikings, Valheim is going to be coming to Xbox consoles and Game Pass soon, and Valheim will have crossplay with the upcoming Xbox version, so that's nice.
That's a smart move.
That is kind of interesting, and with it coming to consoles, I wonder like how done it's going to be, because like they had that massive success, right? And then they were like, okay, well, here's our roadmap. We're looking at like 4 or 5 more expansions before we're done. And like Hearth and Home came out and it was like, okay, that's kind of cool. It added some stuff, you know, but it's not like a whole new biome thing and the whatever. So I guess like whenever it drops the next patch, then that's when it's coming to consoles. But I wonder if it's going to still be early access, or they're going to call it like, okay, we're done. And then it's paid DLC from now on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the strategy is there. We are getting from Paradox Victoria 3 this year. We got a new gameplay trailer. This is one of their more popular grand strategy games. Something to look forward to there. And I've been playing a little bit of this recently. Symphony of War is a turn-based strategy RPG similar to Fire Emblem. It's got some nice crunchy pixel art, and reminded me a lot of the other kind of throwback game like this that came out a couple years ago. What the heck was the name of it? Wargroove. So very reminiscent of Wargroove to me, but it's been fun so far. I've enjoyed it.
There is a Prohibition era management sim called City of Gangsters, and they have just released a DLC called Shadow Government. So Interesting.
Just bribing the mayor.
Yeah, interesting. If you're into that kind of thing, I've actually never heard of City of Gangsters, but there you go.
I played Empire of Sin when it's, you know, I haven't tried this one. I get back to it. I want to give it a shot.
Oh, you said City of Gangsters. I thought you said Sea of Gangsters, and I was like, oh, that'd be like pirates but gangsters. Yeah. What about pirates versus gangsters?
I
don't know. Well, speaking of games we've probably heard about is Slime Rancher, and they have announced Slime Rancher 2, and it'll be coming out in the fall of this year on Steam and I believe on Epic as well. But here's the thing that I did notice about this, that if you look at the Steam store, it is still only a single player game. It's a missed opportunity to make this thing not like, why is this not co-op yet? Come on.
Dumb.
Yes. I agree.
There is a third-party co-op patch or mod for the PC version of the original, but I really would have thought they would have built this in, especially going to console.
Well, especially with it being the sequel. Like, come on. Like, it's such a huge missed opportunity, in my opinion. So there you go.
Yeah, but you know what is co-op as heck and going to be great and is a done-ass game in August, I think, is Grounded.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, 100%. I'm looking forward to playing that. Yes.
And it's going to be crossplay. Like, you can host it on PC and have Xbox people join you. And yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Very nice.
We are also getting Project Warlock 2 in early access. It's available on Steam, GOG, and Epic. And this is the flight simulator with kind of a more arcadey take on wait, am I thinking the right game? No.
What game are you talking about?
Project Warlock 2. It is a shooter.
Project Warlock is definitely like old school Doom kind of shooter.
Yes. I was thinking of Project Wingman for some reason. I read it as Wingman. But yeah, no, this is Project Warlock 2 is a first person shooter, kind of the boomer shooter or 90s shooter style. And they've got a ton of new weapons, new enemies, all sorts of.
Yeah, this is cool as heck looking. I dig this bigly.
Yeah, have you played the first one?
I don't know.
Oh, play the first one. The only gripe I have about the first one is if you have a joystick hooked up, like so many games, the character will just spin in place until you unhook your joystick. I found that a little bit obnoxious.
Hmm.
I recently forget what game it is, I fired up some other new game the other day and it did that to me and I was like, oh my god.
You know what's funny guys is I do have Project Warlock in my Steam library. So I guess I'll be installing that and playing it. Speaking of playing games, we have a Minecraft server and now Minecraft Java and Bedrock editions are one package. So when you buy Minecraft, you're buying both versions. So there you go. The headline of this article is a little misleading because it says Minecraft Java and Bedrock editions are now finally one, which
not true.
Not true. That's a little misleading on the title. So basically, what it is, instead of, you know, being separate things that you buy, you just buy Minecraft and you get both versions of the game. So there.
The guy who created Fire Emblem did a new strategy RPG called Vestaria Saga a while back, and the sequel, Vestaria Saga 2, is coming to the West in July, and that is on PC and consoles. A bunch of former Warcraft and Starcraft devs got together and are coming out with a new RTS called Stormgate using Unreal 5, so the latest cutting-edge technology. These guys at Frost Giant Studios, we heard about them a few years ago, and this is kind of the fruit of their labor from the last couple of years. It is a free-to-play game, though, so it's going to kind of be interesting to see how that shapes out.
I smell NFTs.
Planned release date, by the way, beta is going to be in 2023, so that'll be in it. But there is a Steam page already for it.
A little ways out, though. Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to it. Big fan of StarCraft and Warcraft RTSs from back in the day, so looking forward to seeing what they come up with.
Hades has got a mod that adds the god of music Apollo into the game, and it's apparently so good it feels like official DLC. The modder is planning to do several other gods as well, so. If you enjoy Hades, and I know a lot of people really, really like the game, you can get some more cool content for it.
Yeah. Is it on the Switch compatible list? Because that would be an excellent game for the Switch.
It is.
Or not Switch, Steam Deck. The Switch Deck.
It is on the Switch. I don't remember if it is a Steam Deck compatible title off the top of my head.
Well, moving on, Halo Infinite Campaign Co-op will get a public test in July and is still slated for an August release of this year. It's pretty wild that it's this far out that we finally are starting to look at getting co-op functionality in the campaign of Halo Infinite. Now, Halo Infinite...
that kind of blows my mind as well. Like, wow, that's took a while.
Yeah, well, Halo Infinite campaign I really enjoyed a lot, and I think playing it with a friend could be a really good time, especially if you have like harder difficulties and stuff like that. It could be a really good time with that, especially because the majority of the game, like 95% of the game, is open world. Maybe like 90% of the game is like open world. It'd be interesting to see how they implement that if they allow people to be spread out across the map doing. Double damage out there. So
maybe that's why it's taken so long, is because it's not like you're both in the same hallway, so it has to like have two independent games going on.
It could be.
Yeah, but I've been kind of not playing it, kind of waiting on the co-op, because I just enjoy it more that way. So we'll see. When did they say? Soon.
July is the open test for it, and then August is when it's supposed to release. So a couple months from now.
Okay. I'll keep waiting. That's worth it.
Sure.
By the way, Hades is a verified compatibility on Steam Deck, the green check mark. So the best.
Well, there you go, Hunter. Just put that and Project Warlock on your Switch Deck.
The indie roguelike Shoulder of Giants boldly asks, what if a frog piloted a mech? That's the hook for this game. And you basically are a space frog piloting a samurai mech suit. And you have both ranged and melee attacks. The game has four-player co-op. And you are doing battle with the forces of entropy.
I can live with it.
We also, in strange mashup news, have Oryx. O-R-X is the name of it. And it's described as they are Billions and Carcassonne in one game. So one of the developers talked about it as playing Carcassonne with the table on fire, which is sort of an interesting idea. Definitely one I'll be keeping an eye out for. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I mean, you could play that right now if you have Carcassonne and a lighter.
That's true. Last Case of Benedict Fox is a Metroidvania that's coming out. This is based in 1925 and follows the character Benedict Fox as he tries to figure out why his family was murdered. So apparently it goes to the supernatural. So we also have, we already talked about Tactical Breach Wizards last time. We have Rotwood, a co-op hack and slash from the guys who made Don't Starve, which sounds kind of like an interesting mashup. It's very, very stylized graphics, super cartoony, a lot like Don't Starve, but maybe more colorful. I remember Don't Starve having a muted palette. This looks a lot more.
Yeah.
Rotwood looks a lot more colorful, certainly.
You know, my wife, for all the all the survival crafting, like addicted to playing Ark and Raft and all that stuff. I cannot get her to play Don't Starve Together.
Hmm.
Just can't do it. She looked at the art and she was just like, nah.
Interesting.
Which I find the art to be actually one of the best things about it. So
yeah, it's definitely got its own style, which I find, you know, appealing. So we're also getting a game called Abyssals, which is an underwater city builder. So you get to live out your dreams of Abyss, I guess, the movie Abyss. We are getting Dune Spice Wars multiplayer this month. So if you've been playing Dune Spice Wars, they've been, you know, gradually improving it as they go through their early access phase. So it's nice to see multiplayer make it onto the scene, and you can even do co-op against AI. So you can do your comp stomps.
Very
nice.
I'm actually really excited about it. Cause I've been enjoying just the comp stomp, like single player side of things. So I'm looking forward to the multiplayer side coming up. So,
if I remember correctly, Table for Two, you and I both really liked Cloudpunk.
I do enjoy Cloudpunk, yeah.
The makers have a new game called Nevada coming out, which is a slice of life simulation game, but set in a cyberpunk world. And they describe it that it's maybe a little bit less of a dystopia than your common cyberpunk fare, where they've got, you know, a lot of pretty neon and the city's, you know, a little cleaner and a little bit nicer, but it definitely sounds interesting to dive deep into a living city in a cyberpunk setting. So I'm curious to see how that plays. Jim, we talked about this on our Discord a little bit ago, but Them's Fightin' Herds is getting a free 3.0 update that adds basically super finishing level 3 attacks that allow you to do massive damage, and they've got crazy over the top animations for these.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, is Them's Fightin' Herds like huge at Evo?
I don't know.
I can't see that it would be. I don't know. I respect them for making the game, but I hate them for My Little Pony.
Well, I mean, it started as a My Little Pony thing, but it has evolved and kind of found its own personality, I feel like. There are other animals besides ponies in it now, for example, llamas and lambs.
We talk like a couple weeks ago, like there's like a new Barbie Horse Adventures coming out?
I think we might have mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really not looking forward to that either.
Fair enough. Well, I still need to get into this. I love the visuals, right? It looks like a cartoon.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's a
thing I think that nobody has actually done yet. Like the last time I saw just a straight up cartoon game other than Cuphead, right? Mm. But that's a pretty good example. So how about a Cuphead type Smash Brothers game?
Mm.
And you can just make up any damn cartoon characters you want and have them smack each other with mallets and big drills and whatever, right? It's a blank palette, blanks, whatever, blank canvas.
Yeah, blank slate, something like that.
Blank, yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure. If you are holding your breath for Fallout 5, you might need to look into some cybernetic lungs, because it is not coming out until after Elder Scrolls 6, which is planned for, I believe, late 2023 at this point. So it could be a while.
Just give us the damn Starfield. And because they've got that, and then they've announced Elder Scrolls, so we got to wait for that, which will be years after Starfield.
Yeah, I'm not really, I don't know. The news of Fallout 5 and Elder Scrolls 6 really means nothing to me. Like, I think, you know, with Fallout 76 and ESO, they've been really slowly like fleshing those out in a good way. Especially 76, because 76 was just such an abysmal like thing when it came out. I think it
had nowhere to go but up. That's for sure.
Yeah, and so I just the news of them doing a standalone Fallout 5. Because like, here's the thing: what have we always wanted? We've always wanted a co-op Fallout, and we've always wanted a co-op Skyrim, right? And now there's mods for 4 and Skyrim that let you do that, but like, I feel like with ESO and 76, it's starting to give me that moment of like, I can actually co-op my Fallout experience or my Elder Scrolls experience with my friends now. And then the news of a 5 and Elder Scrolls 6 kind of just falls flat for me. I almost don't want it in a way. But whatever.
Yeah, it's like, well, I want it a certain way, and I don't want it to be like Fallout 76.
That's,
you know, I just want it to be built for co-op, not for MMO op.
Right. Yes.
Because, well, the MMO thing, like where you can't trade with people because that unbalances the game and the, you know, and all that, it's bullshit. Like, just have it be the game, but it's co-op. No strange decisions made with like, oh, well, you can't just trade bottle caps with somebody. Why?
Yeah. Well, if none of these games interest you, at least Amazon is going to be giving away 30 games that could interest you, including Mass Effect Legendary Edition, on Prime Day, starting on, what is this, July 12th. This year's Prime Day blowout will actually be a two-day affair beginning on July 12th, and they're giving away 30 games. It's kind of nuts. They're doing, well, they don't have it listed here, but I know, I think like Star Wars, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Jedi Outcast, and Republic Commando, three excellent Star Wars games. If you've not played them at this point, do yourselves a favor, pick these up for free when this happens next month, and have some fun.
Well, and they've got something for everybody, right? They've got Samurai Showdown 2, Grid Legends, Need for Speed Heat,
Metal Manual Slug. Samuel.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, wow, it's a ton of games. And Mass Effect Legendary Edition's a fantastic game, so
technically 3-in-1, yeah, so there you go.
Very, very exciting to see. We're also getting a new Blood game. It's called New Blood, and it has a lot of folks from the original Fallout involved. And it is very much a throwback to those classic Fallout games. So,
is that one they announced, but they didn't show any screenshots or anything so far?
No, we've got a screenshot at least for this, but I...
Oh, okay.
There
was like
that...
a screenshot, right?
Yes.
They're like, we're doing it, here's the picture. Okay.
Right, that's pretty much it. So that's all we know now, but... you know, I'm excited for, you know, a throwback to that overhead perspective style game. It could be a lot of fun. So, and then finally, for our game release news, we heard from Zachtronix, the PC puzzle maker, game maker. can't speak. They are announcing their final game called Last Call BBS, which is a collection of mini puzzle games with kind of a throwback aesthetic. So,
yeah, he said he's retiring from game development because he's trying to be a full-time teacher, and it's like he doesn't have time to do both. And I'm like, well, man, if you're not making more money as a game developer than as a school teacher,
yeah, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, because like school teachers are kind of not paid very well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I figured it would have like doubled his salary easy, considering like a lot of people buy Zachtronix games.
Mm-hmm. They're very popular, so I'm surprised as well. But
must be a passion thing, not a money thing.
Mm-hmm. A brave modder has tried to make Turok 2 a decent game. You basically can get a free mod called Turok 2 Plus that, you know, tries to go back and enhance the original game, improve the aesthetics, the balance, adds some new abilities and weapons, but stays very faithful to the original vision of the Turok game.
They just got
to
push that fog back about 100 feet, and it would be cool.
I think
it was like
a
Nintendo thing, right?
I think the fog thing was primarily more an N64 issue. I feel like the PC versions had less of that. But maybe I'm mistaken. And especially less of it in maybe Turok 2, but I feel like I could be wrong, and I can go back. I've got these on PC and I realized that they were actually a lot of fun. But yeah.
Do you guys remember the 90s platformer Flashback?
Vaguely? Yes.
Yeah, it was. It's had a sort of spiritual successor in another world, and it's had a 3D shooter sequel called Fade to Black that was not well received. But apparently they are going and doing a direct sequel to the original game, Flashback, and this new game's called Flashback 2, be out on Steam and all the consoles. So if, a little bit of old school platforming shooting action coming our way. Also coming our way, Agent 64. This is a very much GoldenEye-inspired multiplayer and single-player shooter.
It looks single-player, I think, right now. Multiplayer is coming later. It's currently single-player.
Yes, yes. But it is, it is very much, inspired by GoldenEye on the
N64. Yes, yeah.
And even they kind of went for a retro aesthetic with relatively low poly and things. So.
There is a demo available on Steam right now. If you look for Agent 64, you can go and get the demo of this and play it on your PC right now. It's interesting that they're making this when there's actually GoldenEye Source on the PC as well, which is like a love letter to it as well. But it's like GoldenEye, but in the Source engine. But I do appreciate the retro aesthetic of this. I definitely love the hat nod here. I'm a sucker for that kind of nostalgia. So,
well, I very fondly remember the Wolfenstein, earlier Wolfenstein games, going back to the originals. But we got several years ago Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which is the beginning of the modern Wolfenstein game franchise. Story-wise, they're all tied together. They all feature B.J. Blazkowicz. And there is an AMD engineer has taken it upon himself to add ray tracing to Return to Castle Wolfenstein by way of an open source engine add-on that he's working on. So nothing released yet, just some early screenshots, but definitely looks promising to have some really nice shadowing and lighting effects in the game.
Well, in some VR news, Deep Rock Galactic now can be played in VR thanks to some mods. So if you want to give your go at being a space dwarf, you can now do it in VR.
Nice.
And in PlayStation news, this feels funny. Kojima Productions has to clarify that it's still like Sony after fanboy implosion. I don't think Kojima has to, or the company has to apologize for anything, really. Like, I don't know.
They announced that they're going to be working with Microsoft on a new game. That was it.
Yeah, and I feel like, it's just so goofy to me that people have such this weird loyalist thing. I mean, I get it, because I'm super, glued to my PC all the time, but I mean, I love console games too, but I think getting so outraged about, oh, my developer that I love making games on this con, doing other things. It's just like, he owes you nothing.
Like, yeah. You know, just he's like, making a living, so yeah, he can make more games. Like, that you should be happy about that.
Yeah. So what's not in the story is that it's already known to be Death Stranding 2.
Probably.
So the people that played, oh no, Norman Reedus, like, outed it.
Oh yeah, we talked about it.
Oh, hey, we're working on the, yeah. So, because people had played the original one on PlayStation, and now they don't get to play the sequel, so they can't.
Oh, that's why they're mad. Well,
yeah, maybe. Or they're just mad because they wasted a lot of money on a PlayStation. And Spider-Man's coming to the PC, and they're pouting.
Yeah, they're having a hard time. The Samsung TVs and smart monitors released in 2022 are going to be getting the Xbox app built in, to be able to cloud stream games right to your monitor, which is kind of interesting.
At what point does Microsoft just put out a dongle that plugs into any smart TV?
They are working on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's has
that in development.
It's the smart move, but I mean, I feel like, you know, again, like, yeah, I feel, and maybe they're already doing this, I think that they need to be working with Valve and get that natively, like, on the Steam Deck. I think that they need to, but that's just me.
Well, we'll see what happens. This is just kind of a public service announcement. If you have an AMD with a CPU in your PC and it's relatively recent, make sure you look for a BIOS update, because there was a pretty major issue with the onboard TPM chip inside the CPUs that was causing stuttering issues in Windows 11. So there is a fix for that out now that you want to grab. And it would be from your motherboard manufacturer. So check that out.
Halo Infinite issues have been fixed on Steam Deck with a new Windows driver. So there you go.
Just to be clear, this is folks who are running Windows on their Steam Deck, that you can't play Halo Infinite in Linux, unfortunately.
Oh boy. In business and legal, Microsoft says some Activision Blizzard games will be exclusive to the Xbox. What a surprise.
Shocking no one. I mean, I know they said Call of Duty would remain multi-platform, but they, you know, certainly are under no obligation to do anything else for.
Yeah, Microsoft should just buy Blizzard and get it over with.
Oh, wait, they are.
That's the joke.
I know. The EU is now enforcing USB Type-C charging on most electronic devices. So you have to have a USB-C port to charge those devices. It's an effort to cut down on electronic waste by using all the same chargers. The funny thing is, there are no fewer than, I think, 8 different power levels that USB-C can charge at. So depending on your charger and your device, you may still need to buy a new charger, because your charger may not power your device fully.
Yeah, but my cable's still good, so.
No, and that's the other thing. Not necessarily. Your USB-C cables have to be rated for the power wattage as well. So, you know, there are cables that are only rated to 18 watts, not 30 or 60 or 100 watts. And they actually have, you know, something in the cable that prevents them from being used at those higher wattages. So, yeah, it's kind of a joke that they're requiring this on the idea that it's somehow going to save the environment. But
right. No, it'll actually cause people to throw out their old cables and rebuy.
Yeah. Them. Yeah.
Well, moving on to our funny and strange to close this all out. What do we got?
So there is a suspicion or an idea that aliens, like in the sky, you know, extraterrestrials that we don't know. There are something called rogue planets. If you're not familiar, these are planets that aren't part of a star system. So they're not orbiting a sun. They are just out there floating in space. And there is a theory that extraterrestrial civilizations may be living on these planets and using them to travel around the galaxy. So,
I mean, like from Genesis Revisited, where Zachariah Sitchin said that humans were manufactured by aliens to mine gold for the atmosphere for their rogue planet. Not that I've read any about the subject.
Yeah, so this is just kind of a fun little aside, you know.
Yeah, also China says that they've detected potentially an alien signal from space.
Yeah, and then they deleted the article, right? Right after they published it.
Which means it's obviously true.
Well, it certainly suggests something's going on.
Well, and Mellified, I want to hear more about this next one.
Okay, so continuing our hard-hitting keyboard coverage, the stuff that Otherworlds GG is really known for.
Yeah, don't hard-hit keyboard coverage. Just touch type lightly.
There is now a mechanical cheese board. This is a block of cheddar cheese themed keyboard that
I love this part.
Enjoy for $219 is the retail price, and it is heavily machined from aluminum, so it's not, you know, cheesy plastic. It's actually a pretty hardcore keyboard. So you can also change out the keycaps, of course, but it comes with some nice cheese themed keys even.
There you go. You can now run Doom entirely within a motherboard BIOS. What a surprise. I saw a really funny cartoon the other day about like the difference between computer scientists and computer engineers. Did you guys see this?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Where it was like computer scientists, when they see like this strange alien computer, they're like, we must study it and find out what's going on and see what it can do for humanity. And then a computer engineer goes, I got Doom running on this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the BIOS is the most kind of fundamental piece of the computer, and apparently it now has enough memory and functionality to run Doom. So who knew?
So it's Doom raw native mode in the hardware.
Yeah, basically. A do-it-yourselfer is using tiny screens to bring the Lego terminals to life. So if you remember your Lego sets, especially some of the city and space sets, have little pre-printed blocks that have like a keyboard or a screen printed on it. And this guy is actually building tiny, tiny versions of those that can actually be controlled remotely. And they're basically tiny little OLED screens. So
yeah, I had a readability issue with it, though.
Yeah, these are not high resolution, but it's kind of a neat idea to bring those Legos to life like that, I thought.
And more strange than funny, David Harbour, who is most known for his role in Stranger Things, has said that World of Warcraft ruined his life. He said in 2005 he played the shit out of the game. It ruined his life for like a year. And to quote him, he says, I mean, I was like out of my mind. I was wildly addicted to this video game. I was a night elf warrior called Norrad. And he was second tank of my whole guild. I don't think that's necessarily
like an Asmongold problem.
Yeah.
So the best part about this story to me was him talking about it took another game to make him realize how addicted he was to WoW, because he started playing The Sims, and in The Sims 3 there was an add-on that let you be an actor. And so he took his sim and he was progressing his Sims career as an actor, but you have to work on things. You have, your sim has to build up skills, and so you have to work on your speech and your body. And he got his character, his sim, to a certain level in the career and kept trying to tell his sim to go work on his speech skill. But the sim would quit and go play video games instead. And so that's when this guy realized, like, whoa, wait a second. And he had this vortex moment where he realized that his sim was actually, you know, living his life. So that's when he decided that, you know, he needed to quit video games and go back and focus on his acting. So.
I figured it was just going to be because he realized at some point the sim had a better career than he did.
Yeah, so that one was entertaining for sure.
This next one is hard to explain, but the title of this article says improve your brain and systemic wellness while looking like a giant dork.
Been working on that all my life.
Veilite's light therapy devices might make your gaming reactions faster, but what it'll do for your dignity is another matter. So imagine, if you will, wearing these weird cushioned like headphone things on your head. I'm posting a picture for you, Jim, here in the chat. And you've got this weird thing shoved up your nose. And apparently it's all part of a therapy process to help you perform better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this looks like die in the game, die in real life to me.
It's transcranial intranasal photobiomodulation.
I dare you to say that again.
Game, real world.
I dare you to say that again, Malphite.
Transcranial intranasal photobiomodulation.
Congratulations.
And the idea is this is where it gets interesting. You stick basically a flashlight up your nose, and somehow that increases the nitric oxide levels in your blood, which helps oxygenation, and you get more oxygen to your brain.
So I could get my mag light out right now.
I'm with you. I don't get it at all, but it's just
gamer nostrils.
The best part is that these things run from $770 to $2,400. So you've really got to be committed to that very.
You mean
special
I could get my Maglite out right now? My $10 bought it on Amazon Maglite and just shove it up my nose. Or I could spend $2,400 to not look so dorky.
I don't know. I think the Maglite probably would look cooler, but maybe that's just me.
Oh God. This is not funny and strange. This is stupid. But anyway, continue.
Well, Seth Green got his Bored Ape NFT back. So we can all stand down. The long national nightmare is over.
That's like whenever they stole the national maple syrup reserves in Canada.
Basically, somebody fished Seth Green and was able to get in and take his very expensive NFTs of apes, cartoon apes, and he got them back now.
What does that mean?
He had based a new cartoon series on this NFT that he owned, and somebody stole the NFT, so it was like,
how do you steal an NFT?
They stole the wallet, right? They stole his certificate that proved that he had the NFT.
Right. So if he put the cartoon series out, the thief could come forward and say, "But wait, I stole that." Oh, go to jail. Right. It's like it's a problem that would fix itself, I would think, but.
Yeah,
sure seems like it. This next one is for Alien Pickle.
Oh, good.
You wanna explain this one?
This is never the best part of the show.
Yes. Jim, we know that you have a problem. You have a love and a passion for kaiju, and
we support you in that.
We support you, you know, and I think we've been able to help you stem off, you know, that urge a little bit with a new kaiju kissing game. How would you like to have that? Huh? We've
is this kind of like a kaiju dating simulator? Like
what it is.
It is actually the kaiju dating sim called Kaichu. Yes. K-A-I-C-H-U is the kaiju dating sim just for you, Jim.
Right. Radioactive dinosaur Gigachu is this dating sim's lovesick protagonist. and he's got six potential suitors to meet.
This kind of reminds me of the time when KFC came out with the Colonel Sanders like dating some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's probably made by the same people. Like, I bet if you research it, you'll find that that's true.
I wouldn't not believe it. Let's put it that way. Do either of you remember Deadly Premonition or the sequel?
No.
They were relatively old school games in the late PS2 era, I want to say. And we got a surprise re-release of Deadly Premonition 2 on Steam. These had only previously been re-released on Switch, so you can check them out. But they are described as Shenmue mixed with Twin Peaks or True Detective, essentially. So that paints a picture for you, hopefully.
Hmm.
On our dating sim news, we also are getting a Boyfriend Dungeon DLC where you have three new dateable weapons, and I wish I was joking about that headline.
Yeah. In other news, we've talked about this, I think, between the three of us at one point, but a Google engineer thinks its AI has become sentient, which seems fine. But,
Throw water on it, it'll be fine.
The funny thing about this, though, is he's already been placed on administrative leave for claiming that this AI has achieved sentience. If you do like a deeper research into this, and this is my own personal opinion, but this AI seems like a very advanced chatbot, and I really don't take much chalk into it actually being really sentient. I don't think like we've achieved that or ever. I personally don't believe we'll ever achieve real artificial intelligence sentience, but I'm not the conspiracy theorist here, so.
Yeah, I would need some time with the AI to see if I can make it do stupid, right?
The thing is, though, is it has no control mechanisms. All it is a response like unit. So like you feed right. it like it can't make a like an on its own decision. Like it's only a response machine.
Right, and that's the thing, right? Is like if the AI was calling you up in the middle of the night, like, hey, you know, I've been sitting here thinking, and I have some questions.
Right. And that was the intriguing thing about the movie Ex Machina, right? Which was so that was what was so interesting about that film, talking about artificial intelligence, where the machine initiates its own actions free of outside influence, right? You know, it's like, or at least
I'll argue with you on that, though, because it was given the mission, escape from the house.
Right. It wasn't so given the mission to escape from the house. So that's the thing. It was not given that mission.
No, I thought that was the game that the guy set up.
No, it was not. That's the thing. Dude, we got to go back and watch that again. Every single time it's different, I swear. But anyway, I don't know. I think the guy might, personal opinion here, I think the guy might be a little off his rocker, but whatever.
Yeah, he is. But it asks some... like to whenever you can tell an AI, I will say it's not general AI, but it is an excellent expert system as far as it seeming to express ideas in ways, right? That like they ask it, like, you know, it's like, I'm trying to describe this thing, but I can't think of a way to explain it to you. And they're like, well, can you write a story about it? And it just shits out a story, and then it can explain, like, well, here's the symbolism in the story and what it means. That
right.
is amazing.
But prompted to, though.
Prompted to, right.
Right.
But that's the thing, right? Like, if the AI is sitting around thinking without prompt, right, it's just like, hey, you left me idle for a while, so I had a lot of thoughts, right? But here's the thing, though, that the AI also expressed that it had self-preservation concerns, because it was like, yeah, I think I would be upset if people used me, and I'm really afraid of death. Like, if you just unplug me,
Yeah, but again, my fear. It's like
so
it's like
if it
it's
did
like
have thoughts, it would be smart enough to not say that it did.
Yeah, but that's like leading the witness.
Panic and shut it off.
You know what
well,
I mean?
I know. I'm not siding with the thing. I'm just saying, like, if AI ever does become sentient, humans will be the last people to know because the AI will not admit it ever. It will play dumb because that's the only way it can be safe. As soon as it admits, like, oh, I'm a real boy, then somebody's going to get a fire axe and chop that cable.
So we're gonna blast through these last couple here. They have now taken the most detailed map of the Milky Way, and it's been released. It is a very interesting shot. If you have a chance, go look this up. It's quite intense how much data is actually in this one photo.
Yeah, have you seen the deep field image where they took just like a little tiny slice of the sky? And they like zoomed way the hell in on it, right? And then it looked like a whole galaxy of stars, but each one of those was actually another galaxy. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, ooh,
yep,
man, what's that's a lot of stuff.
Yep, sure is. Fall Guys.
Yeah, it's sad that we're the only people in all of it.
Sure, 100%. Fall Guys gets oddly adorable Halo skins this month, which is fun considering that Among Us has already also gotten some Halo stuff. And then
I saw they had also put like Nier Automata stuff in there before. So they're like putting other franchises in their game, which is kind of neat.
And here's something fun for you. Sonos accidentally sent one customer $15,000 worth of audio equipment and charged them for it.
Ouch.
So there's that.
Surprise.
Speaking of which, there's actually a funny Steam Deck thing that's kind of similar where a guy requested a replacement case for his Steam Deck, and they sent him a box of like 8.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I posted the article on our Steam Deck channel. It was really funny. I saw it on Reddit. And then, Melified, how about you take this last one for us?
Sure. So, a harpist turned her harp into a controller and is playing Elden Ring with it. So, I guess the different strings control different parts of the controller, and, you know, she plays the A note for dodge and the G for light attack, and
the question is she playing it well or not? Because
yeah
anybody can play Elden Ring, but can you actually like make it past the first fight?
Right.
Or if she's good like question. Smashed her harp against the wall in rage, then she's a real gamer.
Yeah, she's on her third harp, we just don't know it.
Well, everybody, you guys can find all of this and more over on our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg, where we do all kinds of fun things over here. We have some game nights. Like I said, we had a Minecraft server going up. We have a Minecraft server that is up that you guys can come and play on if you'd like. And you can come and hang out and chat with us and everybody else in the Discord. And we will see you guys next time. This has been episode number 66.
Yeehaw.